Hi, everyone. God bless you. My name is Louis Monteith, and Pastor Bill called me and said, I'm going to be away. I don't know where he's at. Can you teach for me? So I said, yes, of course. So this is why I'm here tonight, and just looking forward to teaching the Word of God. We're going to do Psalm 23 tonight, the Shepherd's Psalm. We're going to just go through it, because we're God's little lambs and we need to be fed and taken care of. So everything else, the format's just going to be the same. So why don't we say a prayer? Father, we just want to give to you this evening service, Lord, and we just thank you that you're here. We have the opportunity, Lord, to be here on a Sunday night to worship you. This is a house of prayer, and we thank you that the Word of God is going out at Calvary Chapel Anaheim. We thank you, Lord, for this ministry. We thank you for Pastor Mark and Sherry and all the staff and all the wonderful saints, the whole flock, Lord. We are just so blessed to be part of this ministry that's just been going on, Lord, for so long. We just thank you so much for being the head of the church and just being, like Pastor Mark says, the brains of the operation. And also for our own lives, Lord, that you are the head and you know what you're doing. And we pray tonight you would speak to us through your word. And Lord, that we could just learn about what this means, this relationship between shepherd and sheep. We want to thank you, Lord, for that. Just anoint our worship now and all that we say and do, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I have a supplement for you for Psalm 23 that I'm going to be teaching tonight. And Rocky's going to pass out a sheet. It looks like this. Okay, and it's to read later, okay, maybe sometime this week, and it's a devotional I wrote. It's called I'm High Need, and you can just kind of fold it up now and put it away in your Bible, and then read subsequently to the Bible study tonight. It's just for fun and free, as they say. And we are in Psalm 23. Well, let's turn there. A very beloved song. How many of you think that you might have it memorized? Maybe like in the old King James? Right. It's so good, isn't it? So why don't we just read it through, and then I'll come back. And what I'm going to do is just parse it out, you know, verse by verse and phrase by phrase, and just see how the Lord leads us. And we're going to look up some cross references to some of the things that really, you know, stand out to us. And hopefully by the end of the evening, we're just going to be more cherishing our shepherd and know that we are his most beloved sheep. So let's read together. Let's read out loud. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, it is probably the most beloved psalm of all of the 150 Psalms. And it's something we need to kind of explain more and more because we're so distant from the pastoral life that once was. We're in the modern era. Most of us dwell in cities and we're in the concrete jungle. And, you know, every time we see a sheep, it's like maybe we're picking apples out there in Oakland or something, and or we're watching something on TV, maybe a little, you know, explanation documentary on shepherd and sheep or something, and or whatever. But you know, man, it was just so common back in the day, right? Especially in these Bible days. Everywhere you would go, you would see at least sheep off in the distance. And we have a writer of this psalm. And who is this writer? David. And wouldn't it be something that this person who was a little boy shepherd would one day be the king over Israel, and God even told him, I have trained you as a shepherd, and now you are over the kingdom of Israel. In other words, God was saying that he was the shepherd and that we are his sheep. Israel was his sheep, and that God would also raise up human shepherds to watch over us because we need guidance and direction and feeding and nurturing and so forth. And so with that as a background, we just want to jump right in there. And let's look at that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. So this is a common Old Testament theme. And if you're taking notes, I want to give to you some cross-references. Some we're going to go over there together. Others I'm going to throw out just so you can know the reference. Psalm 80, verse 1 says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. All right, so there's one right there in the Old Testament. Who's the shepherd of Israel? God is, and he leads Joseph like a flock. The next one is Isaiah 40, verse 11. 40:11. We probably know this one more closer because it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Again, that reference, Isaiah 40:11. And then Zechariah 13:7. And this is a prophecy concerning Christ. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And so this is a prophecy of Christ, because in John chapter 10, Jesus says, verse 11, I am the good what? Shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. All right? So now we see that the God of Israel, Old Testament, says he's the shepherd. Beautiful, tender theme, right? In the New Testament, Jesus himself, who is God, takes up the same theme and says, I am the good shepherd, and I actually give my life for the sheep. And that, of course, is what a shepherd would always do. Go in the midst of danger to protect that sheep from, you know, that which is predatory. And then Hebrews 13:20 says, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So now Jesus is called not just the good shepherd, but in Hebrews 13:20, he is the descriptive great shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and he's also the great shepherd. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. So I like that. It kind of like it gets better and better, doesn't it? He's good, but it's great. You might say, well, someone asks you, well, how was the movie? Oh, it was good. And, you know, your friend might say, the movie was great. Well, you could tell that person appreciated the movie more than the other, right? I mean, it wasn't just good, it was great. Now, interestingly enough, in 1 Peter 5:4, it says, Peter says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So now we have a chief shepherd. Let's go over it again. In the Gospel of John, he's the good shepherd. In Hebrews, he's the great shepherd. And now we have the third description. And what is he in 1 Peter? He's the chief shepherd, which means we have junior shepherds, little shepherds. We have Pastor Mark, you know. We have Pastor Bill, and we have other pastor, Pastor Steve Jewell, and so forth. And the pastors we know, Pastor Louis, okay. And the pastors we know, Franklin Graham is a pastor and evangelist, like his dad, isn't he? And he'll be there tomorrow night at the Pasadena Rose Bowl. So God has raised up little shepherds, but Jesus is the chief shepherd. And so we're always turning things back over to him. That's what pastors do. They see themselves as accountable to, you know, the great and good shepherd and the chief shepherd. They're under shepherds that have the responsibility of, you know, tenderly caring for the sheep of the Lord in that congregation that God gives them. See, it's not like the business world where it's like CEO and business management, you know, paradigms and everything, you know, just that whole structure of everything, how to organize. It's not that way, because the greatest of all is what? Is the servant of all. And we need leadership, don't get me wrong, especially in business, right? We don't need a whole lot of, you know, people in the kitchen, so to speak, telling that cook how to cook. It's like, get out of here. You know, so we need organization, but when it comes to the church, there's only one chief shepherd, amen? And that is Jesus Christ. Now, so the first phrase is, the Lord is my shepherd. So we have to ask, do you own the shepherd? Do you own Jesus as your own? Have you claimed him as your Savior? The Lord is my shepherd. It's nice to know that he is, you know, the shepherd, but is he your shepherd? I remember walking home from the Lutheran church here in Anaheim, where I grew up, and I was walking home as a young lad, had my little overly tight wingtip shoes on, and all dressed up, you know, but I was a little kid, it didn't matter to me, I just enjoyed Sunday school and everything, and I remember walking home, and just through the influence of my wonderful Sunday school teachers, who I feel really knew the Lord, I looked up in the clouds, and I was just like, wow, on this California cloudy day, I was like, you know, I think God's looking at me. I'd sure like to know him someday. That's what I said as a little young lad walking home, you know, down the street, down Orange Avenue. I would really like to know this God someday. And isn't that great, that how the Lord saw that need in my heart? And it wasn't until my brother Steve received Christ at a Southern Baptist church right here across from Loera High School. And so my family, we went to go see him baptized, to get baptized. And through that influence, we all gave our lives to Christ. And so now the Lord is my shepherd, not just a shepherd or a shepherd, you know, out there to someone in the world. He's not just my brother's shepherd. He's my shepherd. I took Jesus as my Savior. You take him too. And isn't that wonderful when we kind of switch over to that from a general knowledge of God to what we sang about tonight? He's the only God. Holy, holy, holy. There is none beside thee. There is none beside thee. And we sang it this morning at church as well. He's the only one. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So the Lord is my shepherd. And then now we get into the aspect that relates to you and I. What does the shepherd now do for the sheep? First of all, it's I shall not what? Want. I shall not want. The Living Bible says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Do you have everything you need? Y'all looking good tonight. You know, I overate again today at lunch. I always do that. You ever do that with food? It's like, you know, I'm going to start this diet thing. I'm going to pull back and so forth. And then the food's so good, you just kind of backslide every time you eat. Amen? Anybody got that problem? And so, you know, and you think about the bed that you slept in and you know, your silly cat that jumps all over you when you come home. And you know, just your sustenance and how you're sustained in life, and your friends and your loved ones and your wonderful Facebook family and the people that you talk to. It's just like, wow, you know, I really got it going on. You know, I have so much. But it doesn't negate the fact that we will have certain needs, right? You know? But it says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But this is talking about overall, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I shall not be a wanting person. I will have needs, I will have wants, but the Lord is going to take care of that need in his timing. Amen? So let's go over to, put a bookmark here, or your finger or something, and we're going to go over to another psalm. Just go ahead a little bit to Psalm 34, 9 and 10. Psalm 34, 9 and 10. It says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him, or lack. No want, no lack. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Have you told the Lord that with that particular need in your life right now? We all will have perennial outstanding needs. They will emerge naturally so in this life. It's just the way this life works, right? And, you know, you're going to feel this acute need. It could be something physical. It could be financial. It could be something emotional. You know, it could be in so many departments of life. You're going to come up with a need. God made us these needy sheep. And all we have to do is what? Go to the shepherd and say, Lord, your word says that the animal kingdom would be a wanting, but not your people, not your sheep. You have promised to give us everything that we need. Lord, I am your redeemed. I'm not only created by the Lord, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am God's precious property, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. I'm very valuable in God's sight. I'm his personal property. You know, amen? You know, so we love to go to these 99-cent stores and so forth. I'm there like all the time. Walmart and so forth. I love a deal. But there's some stores where you might be window shopping or walking through the mall, and it's always a big thing, isn't it? You know not to even look at it when there's no price tag on it, right? Am I right? And it's like, no, this is not my kind of store, you know. This is for uptown folk, not for people like me, you know. And that thing is so valuable, they don't even put a price on it. You are invaluable. You are so worth. Not because that you were worthy, and that's why Jesus died. You were not worthy. I was not worthy. But by virtue of what Jesus did for us, he claimed us. We are his own possession now. And God will always take care of his own. Who do we love the most? Our loved ones. Who do we think and pray about the most? Our loved ones. You are God's loved one. You are his child. And he wants to meet your every single need. Every single one. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go back to Psalm 23 before I get too wild in preaching here. And I got to keep on it, right? So verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Boy, I like this already. And he leads me beside the still waters. So God has green pastures for us. One of the greatest needs that we have is just rest. We live in such a busy world. And, you know, we have this stuff constantly going on. And it's not getting any better, is it? You know, remember when we thought, oh, it'll be great to have these personal machines. Wouldn't it be great to have a computer in your pocket? And now look at this. This stuff's driving us nuts, right? You ever had your phone go off at church? You know? Don't you wish? You know, you love it, right? Because you can right away, hey Cheryl, how you doing, you know? But then it's like, it's you're gonna get those calls and all the responsibility, and the person at work said they wouldn't call you, but now they're calling you. And it's like, what? You know, I'm out to dinner, having a nice time, and I'm getting this phone call, pulling me away. See, that's the stress. And so sheep have that need. We all have that need to lie down in green pastures, and the Lord wants to lead us beside the still waters. Now, notice how it's the initiative of the shepherd, because the sheep aren't doing it. You know? And isn't that just like us? It's like, I should sit down and rest right here. I should read the word. I should be taking it easy. But oh, that last load of laundry. Oh, I got to do this for work tomorrow. Oh, I've got to do that. And if I don't do it now, I know I'm going to forget, because my memory's not getting any better the older I'm getting. And so I better up and at them, you know. And it's like the Lord's just saying, can't you just rest? But see, in our society, we're driven, as Americans especially, right? And it's the most high. I would say I've been around the world visiting missionaries, and it is the most high stressed social context that I have seen anywhere in the world. I've been throughout different parts of Europe, you know, in the Western cultures and so forth, and it's so much chiller and relaxed. And you know, my son-in-law is from Sweden, and they get like the whole month of August off. It's very European, you know, to close down business, shop, commerce, and so forth. Do we do that here? No. If we see a person just sitting over there, we kind of think right away they might be lazy, you know, come on, do something, you know, because it shows how important you are, and we don't like lazy people here in America. I mean, all this is good. I mean, we're the superpower, and we're driven in business, and we've got a lot to show for it, don't get me wrong. But we're talking about God's people chilling out a little bit. And it's okay to just say, you know what, I need to lay down in green pastures. And sometimes the Lord has to lead us. You know, we have all these plans, and then it's like something fell through, or the person that you were getting together with said, oh, I can't do that now. Guess what? It's time. It's time to get back in the Word. You know, it's time to get back to your journal or whatever you do. You know, my brother Rocky, you know, pick up that guitar and play unto Jesus. You know, that kind of thing. Over in Ezekiel 34:14, it says, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. And that, again, is in Ezekiel 34:14. And this is what we found after pastoring for 21 years at Calvary Chapel in Norco, and having to step down because of my wife's health. We're just passing the 5-year mark of her brain surgery, and just could not hold up the church anymore. And so we went into full-time ministry with missions. We're missionaries. And I'm the director of Go Ministries, that happens to be right here. We're out in the middle modular, and we have 92 missionaries that we serve all over the world. But I'm telling you, it was, stepping out of that and coming back to Calvary Chapel Anaheim was amazing. I mean, this church was amazing when I left, but coming back was even more amazing. I mean, it's more love, more grace. And a lot of you, we hadn't seen each other in 21 years when the church here sent me out. And, you know, coming back and then meeting so many more of you. And, you know, just takes time to get to know each other, doesn't it? And to bond. And every time, it's been almost between a year and a half and 2 years that we've been back. And every time we drive away, we just go, oh, we're so glad to be back at Calvary Chapel Anaheim. Why? Because it's green pastures and still waters. And this is where the Lord has for us. And we were so just going crazy. You know, we're pastor more of a smaller church out in the Norco area, you know, Norco Corona. And so, you know, I was wearing a lot of hats, and Cheryl was too, as pastor's wife. And just to step out of that, it was like, wow, what do I do now? I was just so ADD and OCD and so forth. And it's like, Louis, it's time to rest. It's okay to just do less. Less is more. You know, the enemy just wants to get us into that rat race. But we're not rats, we're sheep. Amen? What's the old, like the 60s movie, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, you know? And that's how we feel sometimes. So what I'm proposing to you, that it's possible to be peaceful in a chaotic society. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to be very challenging. You're probably a very responsible person, and we should be. And we should be doing our duties. But God also wants us to have peace in our life. And Jesus has to lead us into that peace, because sometimes we don't take it. See? We were not only directed by the Lord, but sometimes we are redirected by the Lord. When I grew up, I used to love to go to Knott's Berry Farm and enjoy those bumper cars, right? Or any state fair or little portable fairs that would just come into town, you know? Oh, I would love those bumper cars. Because just when you're thinking you're going this way, right, and I'm going to get that person over there, someone from the side just T-bones you, and now you're way over here. See, that's what happened to us 5 years ago. We were T-boned out of full-time pastoral ministry in the senior pastorate to right where we needed to be for that nurture. Because I'm telling you, we were like, we're just going, you know, till the rapture. And that's good. That's good. But the Lord had different plans for us. And you know, it took us a while to adapt to this kind of lifestyle away from all that into the new. What do they call it? The new normal? The new normal. So, you know, don't wait for something like that to happen to you, you know. You can take little steps now and let the Lord lead you into that place. Because what does it do? Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. What does it mean to restore? Restore, right? I've always enjoyed car restoration. I've done an old Falcon, I've done a Mustang, and so forth. You know, Bob's into that, most beautiful car I've ever seen. But it's that restoration. I have an old RV. Now we're going to take a road trip here this summer, and it just needs help. I mean, mechanically it runs good, but it needs like rubbing compound, and you know, I need to get out there and just like shine it up. You know, it kind of looks ghetto right now, you know, as the kids say. You know, that's ghetto, you know. But I'm in the process of restoring it. It's going to look really, really nice. And so the Lord restores us. Why? Because we need restoration. Our energies fade. We kind of break down. We kind of come loose a little bit, right? The Lord's got to tighten. He ratchets us. Be a little bit more tighter and firm in the things of Him. Why? Because we go through stuff. Don't we? We all go through stuff. Look what Cheryl and I went through and what we're still going through. Because now she's disabled. She has 4 disabilities, and she deals with pain and etc. every day of her life. You know, I respect people who wake up to that every day and go through a whole day with it, and they have to deal with it tomorrow too. I have so much respect for those people. I see what my wife goes through. Those people are champions to me. We go through stuff. whatever it is. You know, think about the disappointments of life and the setbacks and the family issues and the broken hearts, the marriages torn apart and the kids and so forth. These are issues. And we go through the turmoil. We have Jesus, but we get beat up in life. And what does the Good Shepherd do? He restores our soul. That's some of the favorite songs that we sing. You know, when I'm here and see those lyrics projected up on the screen and all, oh man, of how the Lord is my Savior and my healer and my restorer. And He helps me when Pastor Mark preaches, you know, that gift of comfort that comes through him. And the grace, it's like I'm being restored. Last year and I, Cheryl, and I have been sitting right here being restored through all that we have been through. And again, we go home, it's all we talk about all the way home. Oh my goodness, the worship. Pastor Mark's never a bad message by Pastor Mark. Like they say, there's no bad Beatles song, right? There's no bad message from Pastor Mark. None. He studies the Word of God and he shares grace. You talk to him or Sherry, what are you going to get? You're going to get love. You're going to get love from this couple. And then it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And that's the right way. The right way. Why? Because you probably have heard this, that sheep are really dumb. I want to read to you a description of a former shepherd. Now, anybody has heard of Ray Stedman? He was a very popular pastor of days gone by. And he has a book here, Folk Psalms of Faith by Ray C. Stedman. And he has an adjunct author here working under him. David Roper wrote this, and it's just a short little paragraph. He says, "It occurs to me that if Jehovah is to be our shepherd, then we have to begin by recognizing that we are sheep. I don't like that analogy, frankly, because I don't like sheep. I come by my dislike, honestly. I used to raise sheep. In high school, I was in the 4-H club. And I had a herd of sheep and goats. Now, goats I can abide because they may be obnoxious, but at least they're smart. Sheep are beyond question the most stupid animals on the face of the earth. They are dumb and they are dirty and they are timid and defenseless and helpless. Mine were always getting lost and hurt and snake bitten. They literally do not know enough to come in out of the rain. I look back on my shepherding days with great deal of disgust. Sheep are miserable creatures. And then to have God tell me that I am one." You know, we have to be led. You've probably heard this before, that sheep will just keep walking even towards a cliff and fall off. And what's even worse than that, other sheep will follow and do the same thing. They're all gone. Shepherds, you know, he was sleeping or something. He lost his whole flock of sheep. So we have to be led by the Lord. And Romans 8:14 says that we are led by the Lord, by the Spirit. And He has promised to lead us. Psalm 32, 8 and 9. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you and counsel you with my eye upon you." And so the shepherd tenderly leads his sheep in paths of righteousness, in what is right. And we have the definition of rightness, not through Hollywood. We can't trust education anymore. We can't even look to government. Where do we find what is right in the world? What's the basis for right or wrong? It's the Holy Bible, isn't it? And so aren't you glad you go to a Bible teaching church where you're taught the truth. And sometimes it's ow, isn't it? Even though Mark loves us, sometimes it's like, ow, Pastor Mark. You know, you kind of squirm a little bit. But I was corrected. I needed it. I have my wife and I have the Lord. And that corrects me. Why? Because they both love me. And so we need to know what is right. What is right? You know? And sometimes it's not even Fox News, is it? What is right? It's Jesus Christ is right. And he leads us to what is right. Now, sometimes I tell the Lord the way he should lead me. And the Lord says, uh-uh. Louis, if I went that way, no. You would be so lost. But Lord, I don't like how you're leading me. You know? But way down deep inside, I know it's the Lord. And it's like I'm kind of wincing. And it's like, oh, Lord, really? And the Lord goes, yep, I know what is right. So if you ever have that sense like you're walking into something in life and you're not really into it, but you feel like God's in it, go for it. Because when God's in it, it's right. It's the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows what he's doing. He's going to bring you safely to it and through it. And you will see the power of God moving on your behalf by those doors that he's going to open, and the people that you're going to meet, and the specifications that are going to be out there that are going to propel you further in life and for the cause of Christ, for you to bear even more fruit for the Lord. Paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, of course, this could be literal death, and it's something that we all have to go through, right? You know, we kind of don't think about it. We'd rather have the rapture come. I'm glad Pastor Bill preaches the rapture, you know, because we might not do that. I mean, wouldn't that be something? Because only two other people have ever escaped that death. Who has it been? Who were they in the Bible? They both start with E. Elijah, what's the other one, I think? Right, Enoch. And there are pictures of the rapture. I'm sure Bill has taught about that. And we could go that way, the way the world's going. It's like, you know, one more school shooting, really? I mean, come on, man, the Lord's got to be coming back. But if we go down that way, it's the way of all the earth. That's what the Bible says. It's the way of all the earth. And the Lord's going to be with us during that time. And this is why this psalm is read so much at memorial services. And we usually quote it, you know, graveside, along with the pastor that's officiating, because it's so meaningful. But look at it and notice some of the things. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, as someone has commented, because there is a shadow, it means there has to be what? A sun. The sun is always shining. It's just a valley that you have to go through. Now, in the Bible, valleys are picturing what? The trials and tribulations we go through. The mountains are picturing what? I'm on top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find. Carpenters, right? So that's a heightened experience. The highs of life, the mountains, the lows of life, the valleys. Here's a valley of the shadow of death. Well, maybe it's something that, you know, it's not going to be physical death, but it's something that you're going through, but you feel death. Right? And the Bible talks about that the old me is supposed to die. That's Pastor Mark's message last night and this morning. Cast away the old man. I'm to die to that old life. So that's what trials and tribulations do in low valleys. I'm dying to my old self, my reliance upon self. Now I got to rely upon Jesus. It could be because, like, you know, we have less money than we had before. I got to really trust in the Lord. That person is no longer in my life. therefore I really have to lean on the Lord. I lost this, therefore I have to trust in the Lord like never before. The sun is shining, it's a valley, and he said that he would not only bring me to it, but also through it. Isaiah 43, verse 2. Let's go to that one, Isaiah 43, verse 2. Isaiah 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Praise the Lord that he is with us as we pass not only to, but we pass what? Through. And I love that gospel song that says, it's the gospel preaching. If he leads you to it, he's going to lead you what? Through it. You're going to get through it. Why? Because it says that the Lord is with us. We go back to Psalm 23. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. So fear is a natural feeling. You know, when you first encounter something, news you don't want to hear, it can really give you fear, like seize you, like a panic attack, right? And for me, I kind of get a little bit like catatonic, like deer in the headlights kind of thing. And I don't breathe as heavy as I should. I get shallow breathing. Then that makes me not feel good, right? I start seeing stars and you know, it's that fear is weird. It really does seize you, doesn't it? It seizes you. But it says, you shall not fear. Why? Because I am with you. It's almost like the hand on the shoulder. And I learned God's shalom, shalom, peace. You know, one time I was out in the park here in Anaheim, and probably junior high school, and these bullies came up and said, hey, Louie, what are you doing, you know, and that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, great. I could tell they're bullies. They want to just bum some coins off of me to play pinball or something or whatever they want to do, you know. And I was like, oh, I wish they would just get out of here. You know, how you think through things like that. Like, I hope this goes away quick, you know. But it's not happening. And I was getting really, really fearful. And, you know, I did not know what to do. But finally, I looked over these guys' shoulders, and my brother Steve was walking around the corner. And I was like, oh. Now I'm all like, you know, I will fear no evil, for Steve is with me. And he's coming, and they're like, oh, you know, what's going on with you now, Louie? You all strutting, you know, like all of a sudden you're changing, and now we really want to fight you. I go, look behind you guys, because my brother's coming up right now. And he looked behind, and my brother Steve said, what are you doing to Louie? Leave him alone. He's my brother. And they said, oh, we're so sorry. You know, and off they scampered. I go, thanks, Steve. You came at just the right time. Doesn't Jesus come at the right time? I will fear no evil. It's a natural, frightened response. But the Bible says God will not give us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound and disciplined mind. You ever have racy thoughts? And we think the worst. And it's just, oh, I'm the first one to admit that, to think it, you know. It's horrible. I hate when I do that. And so I have to like backpedal how so by saying, Lord, you are with me. And I'm starting to get that shallow breath again, Lord. Please settle me down and please give me a scripture. You know, I get confused in my mind. I can't think right. And I start settling down and the Lord gives me a scripture. And I just start getting the Colossians 3:15 peace of God again. Praise the Lord. Never lose your peace, like Pastor Mark always preaches. You know, If you lose your peace, it's the enemy getting in there. We've got to maintain that peace. I'm feeling weird right now. I'm feeling panicky. I don't feel right. Lord, what's going on? Please give me a peace. I can't even think right. When you can't think right, you can't do right. You can't function right. Right? You feel like a scared little boy or girl. And it's natural, of course. But when we go to the Lord, he's there. And he tells Satan what? Leave Louis alone. He's my child. Or Jesus would say, Louis's my sheep. Leave him alone. And then it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod, of course, would be to knock away the wolves and things like that that are out there. And did you read recently that a cougar got someone? Were they walking or riding their bike through? And just killed them and went to go attack somebody else. But see, the shepherd sees that and runs over and has a rod for defense to protect the sheep, and also the staff, which is used for multiple things. Of course, it's a walking stick for the shepherd because they're up and down rocks and things like that. But it's also used for the sheep to be able to guide them. No, no, Louie, you're going the wrong direction. Don't go there, you know. And also when I'm stubborn and self-willed, what does he do? All right, exit stage right, Louie. You know, that's the wrong direction. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think so much about this because I have a one-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever. Now, I got Coco last December, and boy, was she a handful. Kind of like a rescue thing. And, you know, I'm telling you, she's been so much work, but I'm getting a hold of her. I've done dog obedience training with her, and she just passed a year mark, and she's just now getting to that little sweetheart stage, you know. Boy, does she eat a lot of dog food already. But on my morning walks, I walk her every single morning, and I'm telling you, she wants to go left, right, up and down that tree to get that squirrel and so forth. And I just have to yank her all around the place. And of course, I keep my cool, you know, but that dog needs it. And there's like stuff around the park, you know, like French fries from the party yesterday and all kinds of stuff on the sidewalk that she wants to eat. And then when I don't see her, you know, do that, she picks something up and she's starting to cough. And I will spare you the details, you know, and that kind of thing. And I just go, Lord, this is just such a picture of me. I'm going here. I'm going there. I want to eat this thing. I want to do that. And the Lord's saying, Louie, that's not of me. Stay in line. And, you know, owner and dog are the happiest when they're getting along. Amen. Just going parallel, right? When I'm tuned in to Coco, she's tuned in to me. And then people stop and say, what a nice, well-behaved dog. And I say, you're lying. You're only seeing her in a, well, just wait a few minutes from now. But your rod and your staff, all that you do for me, Lord, they comfort me. God protects me. He guides me. He keeps me from wrong. He gets me back into the right. And then, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And so now we see that it's the Lord is leading us to like how things were back in the Bible days as far as being a host. You would take people into your house, and of course the common thing to do, because there weren't hotels and things back then, but in the Oriental custom, you would provide for somebody else. They would provide for you if you're traveling, see? And they would give you, the first thing they would give you is what? Food. Are you hungry? And usually you are. Weary travelers, always hungry. And what else do you need? What was common when you came into the house? It says it right here. Wash your feet, but also what? The olive oil. You know, olive oil in your hair. You've been out, you've been sweating, you know, has a calming effect and so forth. And that oil was also used in the sheep you know, to get down in there. You anoint my head with oil. And it's really good for like bugs. It's like 3-in-1 ointment, you know, the 3-in-1 ointment of the day for little nips and scratches and for bugs, when things are bugging you, so to speak. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord taking care of us. He feeds us. He takes care of our owies, right? And he also what? You know, we're really, because we've been on the road and walking, we are what? Hydrated. And so the host is going to come up and give you what? The water. And he's going to keep coming over and filling up your cup. Don't you love that? The servers at the restaurants, want more coffee? Yeah. I don't think I've ever said no. You know, want more coffee? Yeah. Want more coffee? Yeah. I probably shouldn't. I'm starting to get those jitters, getting buzzed a little bit. But it's like, I love coffee so much. Yeah? You know? And have you ever had that server, you know, where they have those big cups of, those big pitchers, and they have the ice inside there? And you know how they kind of put it sideways? Want more iced tea? Yeah! You know? And it's like, my cup runs over. This is amazing. Sometimes it goes all over. Oh, I'm so sorry. You got some ice on my lap or whatever. It's like, no problem. Thank you. Keep coming back. You got any lemon? I always ask for lemon in my iced tea. You know, got any lemon? Oh, yeah, you know. And it always bugs us, especially when you pay the kind of money that we do for food, and you're wondering about tipping. Oh, I better be gracious, you know, because I told him or her about Jesus, or I'm going to leave a tract or something, you know. So, you know, I forgot what I was going to say there. But we should go on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And it's just like the Lord. Can't we say that? That our cup really does run over in the Lord? I mean, we constantly say, God is good. And we constantly say what? The Lord is so, what's the F word? Faithful. The Lord is so faithful. That's the two things I say the most, I think, to a fellow believer. Brother Al, the Lord is good. Al might say, Louis, the Lord has been so faithful to me. Faithful. Faithful. The Lord is faithful to us. And my cup runs over. I might not have everything I want, but I have everything I need. And when I'm deprived a little bit, it's good for me. I don't like it. But it's good for me. The Lord's trimming me down, slimming me down. I got to get on my knees. Maybe I haven't been on my knees in a while. It's good to be down there. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Something's not right in my home. Something's not right with my pocketbook. I got that need coming up. I don't know how I'm going to meet it. A little bit scared. Then I look back, I go, the Lord's track record for me is 100%. He's never left me or forsaken me. You know, he's always pulled me through somehow in some way. Amazing. How does he do that? He's God. He's the shepherd. I'm his little sheep. He takes care of me. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we're going to get to our destination. Amen? We're going to get to heaven. And goodness and mercy are going to trail us all the way. That's what we have in the rear guard, is his goodness and his mercy. And I need both. I don't know who Shirley is, but I know goodness and mercy is back there following me all the days of my life. God is good to me. I don't deserve it. I am such a sinner. And mercy. I need mercy. Not getting what I deserve. And I ask for his mercy. And he gives it to me. He gives it to me through Christ. All the days of my life. Every single day. It will never expire, his grace or his mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for what? 850 years? Mark talked about this morning, the millennium. is 1,000 years, but even after that, it's going to be all of eternity. Isn't God good? Brothers and sisters, He is so good. And what I want to do now is I want to sing a song for you. I'm going to go up there and grab my guitar, and I want us to just meditate on this Psalm 23. As I sing this, and I played this song at my wedding long time ago. And I just thought about it in preparation for this. And I have an old cassette tape of our wedding. And I don't know where it's at. And I said, Lord, if you want me to play it, please. Let me remember it. And you know, it came back to me, and I just wanted to share it with you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's say a closing prayer. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank You so much for Your word, and we just thank You, Lord, for Psalm 23. We thank You, Lord, for just how you are with us, such a wonderful shepherd. And you lay down your life, Lord, on that cross for the sheep, and we will be forever grateful. Thank you that you're alive, you rose again. Thank you that you live for us, to guide us, to provide for us, to correct us, to nurture us. I pray that everyone in the house tonight would just feel loved by the Good Shepherd, valued. And we pray for particular needs tonight, Lord, in our lives. Maybe we came in to the church tonight just kind of going, oh man, you know, I have this need and I don't know how I'm going to meet it. And I've just been feeling depressed lately and anxious. Well, nothing new, Lord. We're just sheep, and sheep just experience that. But we've learned tonight, Lord, that there is a wonderful shepherd that will meet every need. And we pray that you would do that, Lord, that we would not fear, but we would go out having faith tonight that you are leading us. We might not know how it's all going to work out, but we know that in our hearts it's going to work out somehow in some way. We'll just leave that to the Lord and all the particulars. You've always been there for us. Lord, you will always be there for us. We just need you now. And we just pray for a great sense of your presence for each and every one of us as we leave this place. Lord, bless your sheep. And we thank you for this wonderful time to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. The Lord bless you and keep you.